Zahra Chaudhary begins her recent memoir with a timeline, putting the events that follow into cosmic perspective. She writes, on February 27th in 837 CE, Halley's Comet is recorded on its 15th passage. It is a perihelion one, which means at this point in its orbit, it is closest to the Sun, the oldest raging fire we know. Humans see the flying rock from as close as humanly possible streak across their sky. This riotous universe holds them in awe. On Earth, in 1803, the Great Fire of Bombay devastates hundreds of homes and buildings of this densely populated port city. When the flames die, the British begin to rebuild a Bombay in their own image, as those in power always do. In 1921, fascist party workers in Italy clash with Italian communists. Later, they destroy trade union centers and burn down the socialist newspaper Avanti. Ink and paper turn to ash. Hate and othering fill the air. In 1933, the Reichstag burns down in a deadly blaze. Nazis blame the communists. A national emergency is declared. Soon after, the first labor camp opens. In 2002, two train carriages light on fire outside a small rural railway station in the Indian state of Gujarat, killing dozens of people. The head of the state, the chief minister, calls the burning an act of terror, code since 9/11, for something the Muslims must have done. A state of mourning is declared. 3 weeks later, more than 2,000 Muslims have been killed in response. The largest massacre in the history of independent India begins and ends in fire. Fire is the opening elemental metaphor in The Lucky Ones, a memoir by Zahra Chaudhary. She titles the remaining segments, After Fire Come Threads, Flowers, Air, and Water. The story of one person and her family here is placed into larger and different contexts and explored in political, societal, cultural, historical, even mythical levels. With Halley's Comet and its reverberations, as we just heard, and the subtlety and care with which Chaudhary writes about human experience and emotions touches us as readers and helps us come to terms with the violence in our world, and sadly, with the violence that may be part of our own personal lives, while at the same time laying out what sustains us as humans and leaves us in awe about our condition in this riotous universe. There is perhaps no better example of what the humanities can bring to us than Zahra Chaudhary's memoir. The University of Rhode Island suggests that the humanities are the stories, the ideas, and the words that help us understand our lives and our world. They introduce us to people we have never met, places we have never visited, and ideas that may never have crossed our minds. By showing how others have lived and thought about life, the humanities help us decide what is important and what we can do to make our own lives and the lives of others better. By connecting us with other people, the humanities point the way to answers about what is ethical and what is true to our diverse heritage, traditions, and history. They help us address the challenges we face together as families, communities, and nations. Lycoming College in Williamsport will welcome author Zahra Chaudhary to its third annual undergraduate humanities research conference for a reading from her debut memoir, The Lucky Ones. The event will take place Saturday, April 5th at 5 in the afternoon in the Kropf Gateway Center on the campus. The event is open to the public, free of charge. We had a chance to speak by phone with Phoebe Wagner, Assistant Professor of English, and Andrew Leiter, Professor of English and Director of Lycoming's Humanities Research Center, to learn more about Zahra Chaudhary, the Humanities Research Center, and the conference on April 5th. Dr. Leiter.
The Humanities Research Center at Lycoming, we founded it 3 years ago, and it really had two founding goals. And the first was to enhance research opportunities, experiential learning, and professionalization opportunities for our students in the humanities. And then the second goal was to turn around and use those experiences to showcase those opportunities for potential students thinking about enrolling in the humanities, majoring in the humanities, attending Lycoming. You probably know, but there's been a downturn in humanities study at the college level in the last 20-plus years. And part of that's kind of the national trend and the turn to STEM studies at the K-12 level. But part of it's also kind of a sense of the humanities maybe not leading to the best job outcomes, which is kind of a popular misconception because there's lots of really great jobs out there for humanities majors. And so we wanted to create opportunities to highlight how our students could take what they're learning in the classroom, turn it into professional experience and into great jobs, and then turn around and demonstrate that to other potential students who are interested in the humanities. And so that's kind of what we've been doing for a variety of different activities for the last 3 years.
And Phoebe, how do you see the role and the importance of the center in addition to just offering courses that might fall under the rubric of humanities?
Well, one thing that I think is so important is to expose students to different voices. And so due to the support from the Humanities Research Center, we've been able to bring in interesting speakers, professional speakers. We just had literary agent Kate McKeon visit campus and be able to talk to our creative writing students and our English students who are interested in publishing about what literary agents do. And then also to bring in voices like Zara Chowdhury to give the students a more expansive view and help deepen their empathy, which is, of course, something that the humanities are so excellent at.
What are the humanities these days?
Well, we've got a pretty broad brush for what we consider humanities, but it's history and literature, philosophy, art history, the languages, classical and modern, religious studies. The big expansion in the last several decades has been interdisciplinary humanistic studies, whether that's gender studies, women's studies, identity studies. We're also seeing more movement into the digital humanities. And of course, we always welcome all of our friends in the social sciences with a lot of overlap with humanistic emphasis.
Please tell us then about the conference as part of the overall humanities research initiative. You invite papers from students from far and wide.
We do. So it's a regional one-day conference, and it features all undergraduate student humanities research. And so it can be any field of the humanities or related fields in the social sciences. And we'll have usually 10 to 12 Lycoming students presenting next to 50 or so guest scholars from other institutions. And so we'll have, I think, 24 different institutions represented this year and about 60 scholars from six states. It's mostly from immediate surrounding states. It's a one-day conference, and the idea is to make it easy access for students to get here on the undergraduate dime. But we've had really good turnout over the first 3 years from a wide variety of different institutions.
And the ultimate result is not just this wonderful opportunity to present to one's peers in a conference like this, but there is a journal also, isn't there, where some of these papers wind up and can be disseminated in that way?
Yes, that's correct. The Mid-Atlantic Humanities Review, it's a journal, again, of all undergraduate humanities research, and that's student-edited by our Lycoming students, but it's invited submissions from all those students who attend and present at the conference. And then our students jury those submissions, edit them over the summer, and publish them in the fall in a print and digital format. So we can really get a great work that's being done broadcast out more broadly.
And you mentioned, Phoebe, that this research initiative, the center, allows the college to bring wonderful speakers in, and that's the case this year. Could you introduce us to Zara Chowdhury?
Absolutely. So I'm lucky enough that I actually got to attend grad school with Zara. So we both went to the same MFA program, Iowa State University's MFA in Creative Writing and Environment. So it's really come full circle that I've been able to now invite her to come give a talk at Lycoming College. But her excellent memoir, which was, it was just announced, has been long listed for a PEN America Literary Award for nonfiction that just came out over the weekend. But her memoir, The Lucky Ones, is her survival narrative, really, about the 2002 violence and genocide against Muslims in India. And she was 16 years old at the time. So not only does it cover this very important moment in India's history that, of course, has ramifications for where we find ourselves here politically in the U.S. as well as globally, but Zahra is also just such a lovely writer. She takes these moments of violence and horror and transcribes them, but also gives us moments of beauty, of joy, of resilience, and is just a lovely writer at the sentence level, and also how she captures these characters of her family in this memoir. So it's a moving portrayal of what went on, as well as a character study of her family.
Andy, you are a specialist in one sense, or you're interested particularly in writers and place, because the South is important to you and the authors who are identified with the South. Now, that's not the same as India, but there is a sense that to write well about a place, whether it's in paroxysms and violence, as she has done with India, or the South, what are the lessons that might be drawn by students who immerse themselves in writing that is place-based?
Well, one of the really interesting connections I see in Zahra's writing to some of the works of the South I teach, and some that I'm actually teaching right now, is the connection of family and place. And so Zahra's memoir is, it's not just a memoir about the violence in 2002 in India, but it's about her own family, it's her family history, how it's ingrained with the tensions over generations, particularly post-partition in India. And those are things that are really similar to a lot of the things I teach in U.S. Southern literature, where the family relationships are developed so closely to Southern history and in so many problematic ways as well. And you see these artists that are interested in, really, it's creating beauty out of tragedy, as Phoebe was suggesting, sort of a creative art to transcend destructive acts in a lot of ways. And so it's something I'm really interested in her work, and can't wait to have her on campus to talk about it.
And what would be an author you're teaching now where that might be part of the conversation in class?
Well, I'm a Faulkner scholar, a William Faulkner scholar by training, and so virtually every one of his works tie into that. But this semester in a Southern Gothic course, we've been studying Go Down Moses, which is a family chronicle about racial history of the South and interracially mixed families and how their different trajectories develop against Southern history, especially in the segregation era. And so that's something that's really quite similar in some ways to what Zahra's doing.
And Phoebe, we've talked with you before about some of the writers who might be dystopian in creating a future and perhaps very dark, but you have given us many examples, yourself included, of writers who are taking on the darkness, perhaps, or climate change, for example, and there is a sense of hope. Now, where does the hope come from in Zahra's writing if we think about it and read this lovely memoir?
Absolutely, yeah. And I think so much of it comes through in survival and in family, particularly in sisterhood. Zahra writes very lovingly of her sister and how they got through this time together and remember moments of family relations. The end, of course, does reflect on Zahra as more of an adult looking back on this moment and on different trips to some of these places. And that connection of sisterhood, of motherhood, of friends, particularly female friends, is part of that survival narrative and part of the way that even in this moment of terror, there is still laughter, there is still love that's happening. So really it comes down to relationships is part of what is hopeful about this book.
And she will be the culminating speaker on the conference day. What happens when everybody comes back to class, then those who have been fortunate enough to attend her presentation? Will you and other professors take the opportunity then to follow up on her visit and talk about the memoir and all of the issues it raises in the way she writes?
Yeah, so I will be teaching a section of the memoir in both of my teaching creative writing courses as well as an environmental literature course. And we'll be reviewing a big chunk of this because it is so place-based. It fits very well with thinking about environmental issues. And then with my writers, what I really hope they take away from this book and from getting to meet Zara is that we can write about these political horrific moments in ways that are unflinching, but also in ways where we can point out the moments of joy or the moments of humor, even in the midst of this darkness. And so I hope that my students embrace sort of the political nature of some of the parts of this book and then think about how they can replicate that in their writing if they so choose.
And Andy, too, then, go down Moses and this side by side. You'll make the comparison, will you?
Yeah, we'll definitely bring this up in class. And I will have certain students of mine will also overlap with Phoebe's students in her classes. But we will talk about the ways in which these connections intersect with Go Down Moses, for sure.
We talked about hope, Phoebe. Do you have confidence that the humanities can hold their own?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I think the transferable skills that are taught in the humanities are something that is immediately looked for in so many different jobs. And specifically, too, the ability to communicate. We're seeing how important that is to be able to communicate well and thoughtfully in a clear way for a general audience. And that's something that the humanities teach, whether it's history or English or gender studies. That's a huge consideration. So while I think from students are sometimes a little anxious about their employment possibilities, they're certainly there. And then on the other side, when it comes to sort of the creation of the humanities, you know, we are seeing university presses still produce amazing work. We're seeing obviously books like The Lucky Ones by Zara Chaudhry coming out. There's still publishing is still going strong, even though we hear things that like people read less and less every year. But then also you have Book Talk on the other side, right, which is showing this increase in readership and this increase in communication about important historical moments or important moments in literature. So yes, I'm overall encouraged. I think the humanities sometimes doesn't do a great job communicating that, but I really believe in the project of the humanities, particularly here at Lycoming College.
And Andy, are we, as the public, are we invited to Zara's presentation?
The public is actually invited to the entire conference, including the keynote address. And it's free. Everyone's welcome. And we hope people will join us.
Dr. Andrew Leider, professor of English and director of Lycoming's Humanities Research Center, and Dr. Phoebe Wagner, assistant professor of English at Lycoming, speaking with us about the upcoming Undergraduate Humanities Research Conference on Saturday, April 5th. And at 5 o'clock, as part of that conference, the college will welcome author Zara Chaudhry, and she will read from her debut memoir, The Lucky Ones, and will field questions. Again, the event is open and free to the public, and it's at 5 o'clock Saturday, April 5th, in the Kropp Gateway Center on the campus. For more information, on the web, lycoming.edu, lycoming.edu, author Zara Chaudhry, at Lycoming College in Williamsport, Saturday, April 5th at 5 in the afternoon at the Kropp Gateway Center on the campus. The event is open to the public free of charge. And if you'd like to explore more about the author herself, here is her website, zarachaudhry.com. And that's ZaraChaudhry.com.